What's going on with dance and stuff? What's happening with dance and things? What's going on? What's happening? What's going on with dance and stuff? Impossible. That is... That is what is in my mind so much. And we'll get to why that's in my mind so much later.
Is that Cinderella? Is that Rodgers and Hammerstein?
It is. It is. But I frequently... Whitney Houston singing it frequently comes into my mind.
It's so important. It's very important.
Impossible. Impossible.
Impossible. Yeah. For a plain orange man to become the president. Impossible. I mean, but it is, apparently it is possible. It's possible.
I mean, Jeremy said we should just start calling Trump the monster of the United States of America.
The monster, yes.
The monster of the United States of America. It just, and ladies and gentlemen, another, we will get to the debate in a moment, but I wanted to take a moment. I didn't get clearance from this Patreon patron yet. Ooh. If I could say their name. But I want to read something that you already know, Reed. So last week, ladies and gentlemen, another, you heard me say that I had been dealing with a Lyme, and I'd gone back to that urgent care that had misdiagnosed me twice with a rash, saying that they thought it was cellulitis, but it ended up being Lyme. And I went back to the same urgent care because, ladies and gentlemen, another, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And
they gave you one correct result.
Yes, the one older female person there, but I saw the young man there who'd given me the two wrong answers, and I went back, and his third answer, when I was like, I have this pain on my occipital and swollen occipital gland, nerve pain, and he was like, you have, what do you call it, ringworm. And I was like,
Young men and old men are not to be trusted. Men are not to be trusted.
As anyone who's ever heard of this podcast knows, I don't like watching men do things or hearing them. As soon as I knew it was going to be him, I should have stormed out, but I felt trapped by my own codependency. And, but it didn't feel right. And, for me, feelings are facts. And I went to an incredible dermatologist in Albany. And I will find her name in a moment. She's so wonderful at Albany Dermatology. I love her. She's incredible. And I went in, and she was like, Albany Dermatology. Let me tell you what. I'm really
Albany
giving it
Albany Dermatology better work.
They are so fierce. I got to Albany Dermatology and I was like, you go up in this place, the door opens, this queen was like, hi, and like stuck his arm out with a thermometer on my forehead, you know, like one of those point and shoots. And
I'm going to interject. That happens to me every day at Abrams when I go in. They
no
take my
way.
Temperature.
No way. Are you
Why
serious?
Are you saying it?
They point it at your forehead?
Yeah, every day.
I love that.
You can't get in the building. You have to have your temperature taken and sign in. And I do, as you know, run a little cold, 97 or so. And today, Tyler took my temperature and he was like, oh, wait, I'm going to try it again. And he was like, it's too cold. And then he did it on my wrist. And then he showed me the temperature and it was like 94 degrees.
I love it.
I guess that's it.
You're absolutely a whale. You're absolutely like,
I'm literally Meryl Streep in that Death Becomes Her scene where the doctor takes her temperature and he's like, this can't be right.
And she's like, well, what do you mean? Yeah, with the thing out of her mouth. And then she looks at it and she passes out. So this queen sticks her arm out. She, like, temperature gets taken. She's like, okay, and we're at 97.5. That's great. And have you traveled out of the country? I was like, nope. And he's like, you've been feeling unwell. All these questions, you know, the questions. And I was like,
were you, like, very unwell?
I was like, none of the COVID stuff. That's not why I'm here. And he's like, great, come on in. Go in, immediately get to go back and see Brittany Buzza. Is her name, Buza. If you are ever upstate and are looking for a dermatologist, go see her. She is incredible. She walks in. She's like, oh, you're here. I want to I want to, like, just check everything since you're here. You know, we'll just do, like, a full skin check on you, so get in the row, whatever, and do it. And then I explain what's going on. She's like, wow, you got a lot going on. I said, this guy says, you know, I have ringworm. And she's like, ringworm? I don't think so. And then I turn around and she's like, oh, that's not ringworm. You have shingles.
I truly cannot believe that men are allowed to do anything.
Yeah. So
that's the end of the thought.
And he did appear, and that was the end of the thought. So I don't want to say this Patreon patron's name because I didn't get clearance yet, but I'm going to read what she wrote that came in that day, because I got to that dermatologist on last Thursday.
And on the last podcast, all you still knew was that you
had this pain that I was had this pain
had
or whatever.
A head rash.
Head rash and a pain in a head rash. Patreon patron wrote in, Jack, just listen to this week's pod, and I think you have shingles on top of everything else, you poor darling. Occipital nerve, pain, sores are all the classic signs. You get shingles when your system is worn down, and it triggers those old chickenpox viruses hanging out in your nerve lines. Please rest and take care of yourself. I would even sacrifice hearing the pod for a couple of weeks if it meant you were taking time for yourself and your health. I loves you. I cannot tell you how much that I cried a little bit when Jeremy sent me that. And thank you so much.
I love the accuracy, the compassion.
She is really that listener. I can't thank you enough. That meant the world to me to receive that. Because we are in this durational long form art project of doing this every week.
Well, which has now just become the medical chronicles of Jack Furfurst, quite frankly.
I mean, I like that you pluralized my last name, Jack Furfurst, and the medical chronicles of Jack Furfurst. And it really, and I had to go, and she was like, when did these symptoms start? And I was like, Sunday. And she's like, and when did you see that guy? And I was like, Monday. And she's like, well, that would have been the time to go on Valtrex, which is what you do. You do like the same thing as cold sore type stuff for a week. And she was like, but now it's been 5 days. She's like, so unfortunately it's long, but I'm going to give this to you anyway to hopefully dial back some of the nerve pain that can still happen. And what I will let you know is I'm still in nerve pain. I'm very lucky that it wasn't a huge rash, but it followed. She's like, yep, it completely follows on this nerve line. And it's like, it's basically like getting chicken pox, but like as cold sores. Ugh. And a rash of them. So I have a couple things to say to our listeners. This is from the dermatologist I saw, the incredible dermatologist Boozha. Please go see her at Albany Dermatology. Get the shingles vaccine. She said up until a few years ago, it was worthless because it didn't cover as much. Now it's 90% effective. Even though it says for 50 and over, she said she's seeing more and more young people get it because of stress. People in their 20s coming in with shingles.
We live in a very stressful time.
Oh, we really do. So get the shingles vaccine. And
I might have to do that because guess what? I barely sleep anymore.
I can't wait to get to that. So I want you to everyone to get the shingles vaccine. I want everyone to get the flu shot. And I want everyone to get another vaccine that I just found out about called Pneumovax. And that is a vaccine against pneumonia, which for people who get COVID can be, a problem. So I have my PCP starting to get it. I'm finding an actual doctor up here, a primary care physician upstate, and my appointment with him is on Monday. I hope it's good. I wish it was a woman, but news.
I told Harriet that you had shingles, and she goes, oh my God, Reed, everybody who is very close to in your life just gets sick all the time. And she was like, remember when I got pneumonia last year? And then she goes, do you think it's weird that I never get a flu shot? I was like, no, you get sick every winter. And she was like, and then she was hysterically laughing. She was like, it's true.
Harriet, please get the flu shot.
No, we're going to go together to a CVS and get flu shots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just everyone get the flu shot, especially this year, because supposedly you could get the flu and COVID at the same time. I can't. It is literally everything all at once and too much.
Are you relieved? Were you kind of relieved to have shingles in a way?
As soon as she said it, I was like, because when he was like, you have ringworm, I was like, I haven't been around children or like animals. I was like, did I somehow pet Rory when I was feeding Rory and like get like a fungal? And it also didn't look like ringworm.
Shingles is contagious to those who've not had chicken pox. Is that correct?
Not only that, it can kill them.
Okay. No. But so Jeremy was not at risk, or was at risk?
So I was like, Jeremy, have you had chicken pox? He's like, I think so. And I was like, well, did you get the vaccine? He's like, I think so. And I called Parker. I mean, not that I'm seeing her until she's done with the shoot, but I was like, you have to get the shingles vaccine. And I was like, did you have chicken pox? And she didn't think she did, but I can't imagine anyone didn't get vaccinated for the chicken pox if they didn't have chicken pox. I was someone who had chicken pox very severely, of course, because I'm, you know, like fucking Typhoid Mary over here. And the pain is, I can't even begin to tell you how much pain I was in through the weekend. The pain is, you've had a cold sore. So picture many of those on your body. And in my case, it was on my scalp. And it's that nerve yeah. pain. Like my occipital was swollen half, like it looked like half a golf ball.
Stuart was trying to describe it to me because he had it and it was spread across his like abdomen.
It's generally on your abdomen. Yeah.
Yeah. And he said it was very, very painful.
Yeah. And then they have to burst and like a cold sore and scab and then fall off. On my, when I was a child, and this is like so hideous, but I remember what was so painful about my chicken pox was that I got it mainly on my scalp. Like it was through my hair. So it was really, it felt, and I mean, I still kind of have it going on. It feels like, like an someone is burning something on your skin with an electrical force. It's an beautiful. Electrical burn. Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
And it also, since it's nervy, travels. So it like travels into my neck. And that with the lime also has been like into my jaw and all of that. And I did, what was funny was my jaw was really bothering me, which I thought was the lime. But then I remembered that that's also the pain I get before I get my cold sore, is like this pain in my jaw because it's this nerve path. Anyhow, delicious, impossible. it was really, I think, and that was really what I wish I would have turned to that like bullshit urgent care queen. When he was like, I think it's ringworm. I wish I had like the wherewithal to turn around and go, impossible, impossible. But I did it. And I'm feeling...
For a plain case of ringworm to become a case of shingles. It's possible.
It's totally true. Impossible for someone who's cloistered away with someone else to get ringworm. It's like, it's literally like, it's impossible. So, yeah, that was a real... And the pain was bad. The weekend was rough. I mean, finishing out the doxycycline is heinous. And, you know, I'm such an herb queen that I had like all my things lined up for as soon as I got off the doxy to start building my immune system back and getting my gut health back. And, but Saturday and Sunday, like I couldn't stay awake for like more than an hour. I would like wake up and eat. And then, no, the pain was like, it was like bad pain sleep though. It wasn't, you know, I almost thought about calling in and getting like a script for like Oxycontin or something, but girl, the pain was terrible. And it's still like not great. Shingles takes a real moment. It's a moment.
Well, you sound good. You sound chipper. You sound relieved.
I feel so much better than I was feeling last week. And the weekend really did feel just brutal. Just fucking brutal. And then, it's, you know, but it's back to work. And I thought of you. It's like, just keep working.
Yeah, just keep going.
And there was something really great, too, of feeling like, I don't know. It's at Albany Dermatology, this woman, her name is Camilla. I went to go check out. So I'm like, you know, I hand in my form and I'm paying, and she goes, okay, I was like, wow, your coffee smells so good. She's like, oh, thanks. So I saw her come in with coffee and it smelled so good. And I thought I had to get some. And then she's like, okay, honey, just a second. And then she's like, okay, sign right here, honey. And she had a flat, like a pen that's a flower. And I went, what is your name? And she was like, Camilla. And I said, anyone who calls me honey twice and has a flower pen is just so cool to me. I was like, I adore you. And she looked at him, she goes, oh, thanks, honey. And then I said, and the bathroom's out the hall and to the left. And she goes, that's right, honey. So honey, I called today for my follow-up appointment, and it's been like, you know, since Thursday, and the phone gets picked up and someone goes, hello. And I was like, hi, I just wanted to say, like, I wanted to leave a message for Catherine Buza and that, like, I can't thank her enough. And she really helped me so much. She knew right away. She goes, oh, that's so sweet, honey. What's your birth date? And I was like, is this Camilla? And she's like, yes. And then I was like, and I said my birth date. She goes, oh yeah, I recognized your voice. How are you, honey? And it was just so cute. I love honey, things like
honey,
that.
Honey, honey. Well, imagine if she ever met my mother.
Oh my God. She'd be like, hi, honey, honey, honey. Well, that's okay, honey, honey. Is that a song?
Is Honey Walters here, honey, honey?
Miss Honey, Miss Honey, Miss Honey. Have you ever heard that song?
No.
That's this great, like, club song. Miss Honey.
Miss Honey's one of the characters in Matilda, who is a Roald Dahl character that I wished I was as a child.
Oh, yeah. She's the one who, like, grew up in the nice house that gets taken away by Mrs. Bindlestiff or whatever.
She's the one with the really awful parents, and she is incredibly intelligent, and everybody hates her because of how smart she is. And then she goes to this school, and Miss Honey's her teacher who encourages her, but it turns out she has powers with her mind. She can actually move things.
But Miss Honey had lived in that house that woman took over.
Oh, Miss Trunchbull.
Yeah.
Yeah, Miss. I thought you were talking about Matilda.
No, I know about Matilda. I'm talking about Miss Honey because Matilda helps Miss Honey get her house back. Miss Honey. Oh,
I don't recall that.
Yeah, you don't recall that? Matilda, like, uses her psychic powers to make Miss Trunchbull think that her brother is haunting her. And the brother was the father of Miss Honey, who should have rightfully owned the house. And then Miss Honey gets the house at the end and adopts Matilda.
I love that. I also, there was a scene with chocolate cake that I thought I'd love some cake. Even though she's force feeding a child.
Yeah, she force feels this child to eat this whole chocolate cake. Who does? It's really gross. Yeah.
Ugh, I'd love some cake. I've been watching these incredible YouTube videos from some Korean person who has a station called Maison Olivia, which is a ASMR baking channel, and they make incredible cakes with virtuosic icing abilities. Very good. I highly recommend it.
Well, can we talk about that? The first episode has been released of the Great British Bake Off.
I watched it.
Me too.
And here's the thing I always find. I always find within the first 15 minutes that I'm like, ugh, why don't I like the people as much this year? And then by the end of the episode, I'm in love with all of them.
Well, I also was really like, oh, I miss that woman. I mean, I get that this guy, the guy from Little Britain, is wonderful and like a queen. But like, I miss Sue.
Little Britain guy turned out to be great, though.
Oh, so great. Like, I love him. And he reminds me of you. He has like the palate of a 9-year-old. Where he was just like, you know, could just like, wanted to just eat whatever. I couldn't believe how bad the busts were.
It was insane.
Because then I accidentally flipped on the Cake Bosses show, who had like a Halloween, you know, cake frightening bake-off show, whatever. And the cakes those people were making were incredible and actually looked like...
I feel like Cake Boss has to be a Trump supporter. That's a guess, but it's a feeling.
Oh, no, he seems really nice and wonderful. And actually, I mean, Jeremy said he's actually really great and all this stuff. He seems so sweet. He was so nice. He's much nicer than Paul Hollywood.
Paul Hollywood has fixed his hair this year. He got he stopped using so much gel, so you can't see straight through to the scalp. It looks much better.
Oh, I didn't notice at all because I don't really pay attention when he's talking.
Those busts, though, you're right. That was a real that was insanity, and I think it's to do with them maybe not having as much practice time at home.
They're stuck there. It was also this thing of watching this other show, the Cake Boss show. It's like these Americans just like fully like making just super crafty in this way of like using extreme glaze and stuff to make something look like a rotting corpse that's like a cake. With this one woman on the Cake Boss show made a cake that sounded so gross to me. The flavors were sauerkraut and something button mushroom and that I'd never heard of. And it ended up tasting really good. It was like a sauerkraut cream, like, frosting thing.
Jeez. You got to have some. You got to taste it.
And I tasted it. It was incredible because TV is really amazing now where you push this button and a little bit of whatever's on the TV will come out in your mouth.
I wish.
She used this button mushroom thing to taste like maple, and she did well. But the British baker's busts looked so bad.
Horrible.
Truly horrible.
Except for, I have to say,
Marie Antoinette.
The British queen.
But I really wish that her shoe would have worked so that, like...
No, I actually liked the rice paper sales.
Of course you did.
I was like, it worked out for the best because, like, having little buns all over the head would have been lame, but having paper on toothpicks was elegant.
That is so you. That is absolutely you. And in this very, like, minimalist way, I was like, no, I wish the shoe would have been there. And then just a stockpile of, like, you know, 300 shoe buns.
Oh, my God. Remember, like, Lupita Nyong'o? I was like, not quite. Oh, my gosh.
That was really, what about David Bowie?
David Bowie. Who got kicked off?
I was surprised. I was very shocked. It was the woman who used really strong flavors. Like she used
bubblegum.
Pop and bubblegum, and then like an incredibly spicy. She made a very spicy cake that was like...
I wasn't surprised. Clearly wasn't going to get very far.
It was like chili followed by ginger.
Yeah. Whereas I think that guy with the prosthetic leg and also who apparently... Did he say he had a handsome young man at home waiting for him?
What are you talking about?
The David Bowie guy.
What? He has a prosthetic leg?
Yes.
You know, I might have watched this weekend when I was, like, in and out of, like, extreme pain, so I don't remember that, and I don't remember a handsome young man waiting at home from him.
I feel like he has kids.
He works with... He's a caregiver.
Okay.
I did know that he's a caregiver to a young man, like, that he helps take care of.
Oh, in my mind, I missed that. I guess
I think we really missed a lot of some of their personal life stories
we did,
on
I
here.
Guess so. Yeah, yeah.
But do you love the boy with the purple lips, whose skin flushes like an octopus?
Who was the whatever head baker? What do they call it?
Star baker. I can't believe I was able to remember Star Baker because I really wanted.
Yes, he's very charming.
So sweet. I love that he does gluten-free for his brother and they play badminton that fast. Kudos
to you. It was too so crazy. When people can do stuff like that, I'm like, what even on earth?
I can play badminton like that.
No, you can't.
Yeah, I can.
No.
I can.
No, you can't.
I really can. I can
imagine you trying to. I can imagine.
I could absolutely.
No.
Play bad.
I'm also watching. I think it's so funny. I have a picture of you playing badminton in a gown.
It's not a gown. It's Michelle Mullet's costume from Champ. It's her. It's her white leotard with with a fucking like 3/4 like sheer skirt.
Fantasy tennis outfit.
It's her fantasy tennis outfit, queen.
I've also been watching a strange show on Netflix called Away, which is like Hillary Swank goes to space.
Oh, yeah, actually, I almost watched it.
You know what? It's not what you expect. It's actually sort of like ER or Chicago Hope. Like, it's like a family and workplace drama in space.
Does she float?
There's lots of floating and that kind of special effects.
But let me tell you what. You know who's an actor who I think is really good?
Hillary Swank.
Uh-huh.
She is. Actually, everyone on this show is an actor with a lot of feeling. Josh Charles plays her husband. He's excellent.
I've never heard of him, but I love anyone with two first names.
You know exactly who he is.
Okay, who is he?
Do you remember the movie Threesome with Lara Flynn Boyle and Stephen Baldwin?
Yes. He's the other guy?
The other guy. Yeah.
I can't picture him at all, but I still have the feeling in my body of when I saw that movie as like a 12-year-old, and I was like, how I'll do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, Stephen Baldwin. Honey.
He was hot in that movie, but he is a bad. He's a bad.
I don't know anything about him, but like him and Billy Baldwin are so hot. He's like a
fundamental Christian Republican.
What about this? She's fun, demental.
I don't know what that is.
It's just funny to be like, you know, to be like fun, demental.
She's
so fun. Demental.
Amy Coney Barrett. She's fun. Demental.
Demental. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She is absolutely fun. Demental. What Amy talk Coney about? Barrett. Yeah. Exactly. All the doors that Ruth Bader Ginsburg opened just so you could close them.
Yet another reason I don't sleep anymore. My God.
Wow. You're really feeling the hellscape of
The lead up to this like final month, the month long stretch before the election, which may stretch out into even longer.
Oh honey.
Oh God.
Oh honey. Feels like I think it'll be like a war.
I don't know. I honestly, like, because I have no sense.
He was not going to leave that house. So if he loses, which I now actually kind of think he may.
Why do you think that?
His behavior on the debate was... it was really... I mean, the cut to... you know, and it ends and Brian Williams is like, I am
Chris Wallet. Oh,
it no, oh, it news. Ended. News, I was watching on MSNBC. So when it I ended see, and I Brian see. Williams was like, Brian Williams literally basically looked at camera and was like, I am shook. You know, he was like, I can't, never have I ever seen
all of them. Jake Tapper, the news people were like, this is outrageous.
Everyone was like, what the hell? And I honestly was like, are you surprised?
No. Exactly. I was in no way surprised. I honestly was like, I'm not going to be able to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I did watch some of it. It was exactly what I imagined.
Exactly what I imagined. I was surprised. Rachel Maddow was like, you know, I had done all this prep and now I'm really like, I don't know what to hear. He did all these lawless what have you. I'm like, exactly. Like that anyone's surprised that he didn't abide by the rules is, I'm like, oh what? God. What are you talking about? He doesn't do the rules, honey. Can you?
No.
The part here's when he goes, can you shut up, man? Oh, my God. That thing
of. There's a part where Joe Biden just goes, what does he say? Like, oh my gosh. So, while Donald Trump is screaming over there. But here's the two parts that I only want to think about. Okay. I want to think about the part where Donald Trump couldn't disavow white supremacy.
Uh-huh.
I think that's the most important and revealing moment from Donald Trump's hideous pig.
Completely unsurprised. Who would be unsurprised about that? Uh-huh.
And then the part where Joe Biden very emotionally defended his son and talked about drug problems, that was the part where Joe Biden was the strongest to me.
Yeah, I mean, it was just this thing of, and I mean, I think the thing that, God, I can't, it's this thing of, and Jeremy and I talked about this earlier, that people, the fear of like, anyone being like, oh, you know, sleepy Joe, that he wasn't, that he didn't, that he actually, you know, really showed up, was vocal, did push back, as well as I felt like didn't step into full shit that Donald Trump kept like throwing all over the floor. It was,
I do think his strategy was good in knowing what he was walking into. Uh-huh. I did, however, feel, I felt his age, and it did make me wish, it made me really wish
it was Kamala Harris.
Yeah, that would have been absolutely incredible. Amazing.
Did you see the interview with her after?
No, I'd love to watch that.
Oh my God. Brian Williams interviewed her shortly after the debate, and he was like, when he said blah blah blah, what do you think? And she just went, Brian, I've given up trying to figure out what this man's thinking. And she just like laughed over and over, and she's like, it's ridiculous, it's ridiculous. And we saw what the dividing line is, and we also saw, and this is not new news, that he is going to say that it's a rigged election, that he's going to say that the votes don't count. You know, then, you know.
I love that your favorite got summoned during it, Kellyanne Conway.
In what regard?
That he was like, you know, your own, what was her title at the White House? Nobody knows and nobody cares.
I can't remember anymore. Anyways, my favorite character.
Your own blah, blah, blah even said that, like, in, you know, violence and chaos is exactly what you want. Is exactly like what is going to work in your favor.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump goes, who said that? Nobody said that. And then Joe Biden goes, yeah. And then he's like, who? And he's like, I'll tell you. And he took a second to figure it out, but he's like, Kellyanne Conway. And it was true. She really did say that.
And what did Donald Trump say to that?
He just, of course, said, like, that's not true. You know, like, what is he going to say?
He was like, that's not true. And Kellyanne Conway takes, like, a drag of her Marb Light in her home in Jersey and is like, yeah, I did.
I did it. I said it.
Yeah, I did it. I said it. It doesn't matter. I'm here. I'm here putting a frozen pizza in, having a Diet Coke and a Marb Light, putting my feet up. I'm about to do my nails. That's me picturing Kellyanne Conway as played by me, basically Kellyanne Conway as me.
Yeah, you have like you have a hair mask and you have a shower cap on to keep your hair moist.
Oh my God. Absolutely. With a full, like, whatever, with a face covered in Vaseline.
Absolutely.
It's surreal. I mean, I think that whole thing at the end of, like, you know, him being like, whatever he said, like 80 million votes can't be counted or something. I mean, but setting the groundwork for that he won't concede is all part of it, because if he loses, he goes to prison, honey. The thing is, it's if he loses and if he can be removed, and those are, I think, two separate things, and that is not new news. This is no new news on this non-political podcast. That this, you know, our can you imagine? We are research journalists, political pundits,
and also medical journalists,
and also absolutely a medical journalist.
I cannot believe it.
Yeah,
I really like it, that it's come to this.
I'm not surprised at all. I literally feel like the part in Melancholia when Kristen Dunst says 972 and her sister's like, what? She's like, that's how many beans were in the jar. That's how I know. Like, it's just in act two of Melancholia. That's not the number she says. I think it's like 600 and something. But it's when Charlotte Gainsbourg's like, how do you... Kristen Dunst goes, there's nothing out there. And this is it. And Charlotte Gainsbourg goes, how do you know? And she goes, because I know. And Charlotte Gainsbourg goes, how do you know? And she goes, 600 and whatever, da-da-da. And Charlotte Gainsbourg goes, what? And she goes, that's how many beans were in the jar. That's in act one at the wedding. And Charlotte Gainsbourg stares at her, and Kirsten Dunst goes, because when I tell you I know, I know.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's really, so I wasn't, I'm not, I mean, we didn't begin this podcast in 2016. I have revisited my experience of that quite a bit because I was up here at that time and I had a bad feeling, and that bad feeling was my childhood, of growing up with people who this is absolutely who they would vote for and would want to vote for. And it's the world I grew up in, and I have always felt scared of where it lurks throughout this country, and I never felt like I never felt safe. I've never felt safe from that. I'll never feel safe from that. And
well, it's all people who have been conditioned to have no space for difference.
Correct. Well, not only no, and in that no space to actually have real violence towards it, real fear, and yes, going into a real afraid. Violence towards it. And I also think that there's, beyond fear, there's also just true malice and real evilness. And I think sometimes people can have a harder time admitting that people can have, that people can actually just be bad and want to do mean things because it brings them pleasure. Yes. And I grew up getting abused by people who I could see that it brought them pleasure. So the kind of bullying rhetoric that the monster of the United States puts forward and elicits and calls on, and, you know, what is that group's called? The Proud Boys, I think, or something, when yes. he said, you know, like
stand back down,
stand back, but stand by. That group has now made it their logo on their social media account. Stand back and stand by. Made it their logo today. They're making T-shirts. You know, it is this question then in this country of, okay, so we unearth this. We really bring it out into the light. We expose it. We bring it out. And then the question, I think, is, and then what? How do you talk to these people? And what, in what ways can compassion and empathy be learned by them? You know, it's a real, I think that's the thing that can be really hard to kind of open into potentials of, that there can also be people who are mentally unwell who enjoy being cruel.
There just aren't that many like clinically mentally unwell people. This is not about having a brain that can't be good. Brains can be good. It's about experience and it's about education, and that is what we don't have.
I absolutely agree with you on that. And I'm just, but
we
I'm
don't
also,
have standardized anything in this country because people are so afraid of this idea that it's not real, that everybody can do whatever they want and have total freedom. It's not real, and it's insane.
Well, but then what's so crazy on that is everyone can do whatever they want and have total freedom except you people.
Exactly.
except black
except
people.
Women, and, except black right, people, exactly. except gay people.
Right.
Exactly.
So I think it's also this thing of how does one orient that mentality towards do unto others as you would have them do unto you, like bringing in these things of the golden rule and it is, and we've talked about this before, and it drives, I know how much the hypocrisy of it drives you nuts in terms of Christianity, and it's which is leading me on to our next topic of conversation, which is going to be about Dancing with the Stars and how wonderfully the woman from Cheer did this week.
But I didn't watch this week. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, it's all right. I'll talk about it some. But it's
I don't think I need to be here tonight.
What do you mean?
Well, it's, you know, it's about shingles and it's about, you know.
No, 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 no. Reed, how Jack. Are you?
Literally incredible. Truly.
Reed, how are you? How are you?
So crazy.
How are you? Are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm working a lot. I don't sleep anymore. We keep accumulating more and more little weird jobs that are like, it's due in a week. So that's what I'm doing. I had a very nice night with dear David Hallberg. I said, do you want to go to the ballet?
Uh-huh.
And he said, yes. So he had a rehearsal and then we met there. And then we came to my apartment and we watched New York City Ballet digital streaming like we were at the ballet.
Yes, I need to watch that because with Jeremy so he can see them do Stravinsky Violin Concerto.
They only do the last movement, but it's still worth it.
Boo.
I know,
why?
But there's many good things on the show. You also get to see Tess do the last section of episodes, which is wonderful.
Right, right.
And they have two beautiful potages from Liebeslieder. And love. They have First Movement Symphony in C, Tchaikovsky, and they have, oh, you're going to love the unanswered question from Ives Iana with Janie Taylor, which you have never seen, but it's bizarre. It's really like Buteau solo for hair.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll watch that later. Great. Well,
yeah.
I certainly didn't mean, of course, to have this be about my medical issues, Reed. And I'm so sorry that you didn't feel heard. And
that's okay.
I hope you feel heard now.
I feel fine. It's
we did fine. Talk about politics. We did, that was a conversation. It wasn't a monologue.
It was a conversation.
It was a conversation.
We both had feelings and felt things from those old men who stood on that stage.
God.
Old
God, I just, as the poem goes, I want a dyke for president. It's just, the tedium of it. I am looking forward to the debate between Kamala Harris and Mike Pence.
It'll certainly have far more decorum.
Yes. Yes. And I find their ways of arguing to be a real it feels like a play. It feels more like a play than
Mike Pence is nothing if he's not polite, and by that I mean he actually is nothing except nothing. He's nothing.
He's literally nothing. He's just a window pane of like of just sort of funneling more like creepy Nazi values of, you know, pro-life and anti-gay and what have you.
Nothing life of hate.
Just a nothing life of hate, working the window pane, working next to the monster of the United States of America.
He's going to be really relieved when it's all over, let me tell you what.
Maybe, or maybe he's like, well, days are the same. Days. Wake up at 5, pray. Tell my children to be good. Tell them gay is bad.
Constantly praying the gay away. Constantly.
Pray the gay away. With Pray Gay. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh,
that's
it was
not real.
It was this, it was an audiobook called Pray Gay. And the jingle would go, pray the gay away with Pray Gay.
You're not telling the truth.
You're right, I'm lying.
I did tell David whatever.
Is it a personal story about me?
No, you were involved because it did involve someone we all know and about praying the gay away.
Oh. Yep. Yep. Did you tell him that I had like hands laid on me?
I did. Uh-huh. But I would like you to elaborate, and I think we'll get the opportunity to do that because I think David would like to come and speak with us here in this on this platform.
Oh, cool. Well, happy to have her on. And she absolutely has to figure out how to get us jobs in Melbourne. Because
I already have one.
I know, but like to live.
Oh, I see what you mean. I see what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I say that all the time. I love Melbourne so much. Everyone in Melbourne knows that. Everyone in Melbourne knows that I want to live there. And
everyone in Melbourne knows.
And yet I feel like I probably will just continue to live in America. I talked to Jeremy O'Hara today, who's in Italy, and that sounded really incredible.
Disorganized, chaotic.
And no, well, I mean, it sounded incredible, but I mean, her life's different. So
delicious.
It sounded really fierce. I had something. Melbourne. Oh, I watched something that I didn't like, and I feel I'm that gonna be a dissenting voice on this.
I love that.
It's on Netflix, and it is called My Octopus Teacher.
I don't know what that is. Is it a cartoon?
Mm-mm. It's about a man. It's about a white man who has a midlife crisis, and he is...
Well, I mean, I already understand why you don't like it.
He is from South Africa, and he gets into, like, swimming in the kelp forests, and he starts tracking this octopus and spending a lot of time with this octopus, and I just couldn't. I started it because I saw someone had liked it, and I was like, I want to get into this, I want to have a feeling about nature, and then I couldn't do it.
And now change the word he to she. Do you like it?
Oh my God, if it would have been a woman who was going through it.
I'm glad I was able to do that for you.
I probably would have cried.
I really loved the pause of, like, to really consider it as a woman.
Uh-huh. Well, but here's the thing. If it was a woman, it wouldn't have been as pedantic. It wouldn't have been as... the discussion of the octopus had a kind of objectification around it, the way he talked about her and just how strange, but how just like us, it was, yes, he's a man, and then also just like his, where he sits financially in the world, it just, all of it hit me all the wrong ways. He's like, I couldn't film anything anymore. And then I found this octopus and I could film again.
It's lame. Is this a documentary or like a regular?
It is a documentary that he made about how he couldn't make documentaries anymore until he found this octopus. And then he just starts, you know, filming it all the time and studying it and chasing. I literally fast forwarded through it. And every time I would turn it on, he'd be saying like the same thing. Like,
I was in so a different bored way. With my wealth and privilege that I decided to go swim in the seaweed for a while.
I couldn't be a good dad until I swam in the ocean every day for a year stalking this octopus.
Like, was he away from his children?
No, I think his kids still had to deal with it and I mean, I don't know. I was really like, look, it's a midlife crisis, honey. I get it, okay? It's like, you did something for a certain amount of time, and then you weren't happy with it, and you didn't know why, and then you reconnected with your childhood, just like Carl Jung said we were all supposed to do in our midlife crisis when we walked that far into the woods, and then you figured it out, and blah, 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 and now you sold it to Netflix. Go fuck yourself. I just...
Nailed it.
I couldn't stand it. But when you said, and now if this had been a woman... And you know what? Yes, unless it's Eat, Pray, Love, to which I'm like, no, thank you. Can't.
I have no time for Elizabeth Gilbert and Brené Brown.
I think I liked Brené Brown. Didn't she do a talk about, like, radical acceptance? Is that her? No, she's not. Radical acceptance is Tara...
I don't know.
And Brené Brown, but I liked Brené Brown's. Remember the one I remember from Brené Brown is she's swimming with her husband in the lake, and I think it's something about self-worth. That's all I can remember, but I remember thinking, yeah, There's this really amazing jingle for an ad that I think is for psoriasis. That's an ad for psoriasis that I really love, which is so postmodern and really our times, which is nothing is everything. It's an ad for getting rid of your psoriasis and how if like you don't or eczema and if you don't have it on you at that point, nothing is everything. and that is really if you're queer, you get it. If you're nothing queer, you get it.
Everything.
Yeah, which is really what we're at when it's like,
oh my God,
what's going on and stuff. It's like, you know, look, as my therapist said to me years ago, we're either making meaning or we're taking meaning away. And we couldn't be living in more of that paradigm. The prolapse of that debate, that full prolapse shit the bed debate was so crazy. It was
so crazy.
And yet, totally, I think it's Jeremy's heart raced and mine really felt calm.
You were like, good night when it was over.
I was truly like, yeah.
I just tucked you right in.
Well, I was like, this seems accurate.
I was up till like 3 a.m. watching Hillary Swank in space being like, oh my God, it's all over. Like decency doesn't exist. Everybody is so confused. America is over. Not that America ever like wasn't over, but like, now it's super over.
Well, I think what's weird is, I mean, I didn't grow up being like, I love America, because I was like getting beaten up. And so it felt, for being gay, so it felt, we've talked about this on here before.
The incredible thing is that any person who walks around going like, America's number one, I'm like, you literally don't know about anywhere else. Do you know what I mean?
No, absolutely. You have not experienced socialism, honey.
Yeah, you don't. You've literally never been anywhere if that's what you actually think.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's really like you haven't experienced what it's like to go to a dentist and pay $2.
And also people who think there's some like competition between like where you're from. I'm like, you can have a great life from and live anywhere. It depends on your circumstances.
I think on that one, there's some places I can think of where if you're living, it's not going to be a great life. But then I suppose Elizabeth Gilbert would say, well, it's an inward journey at that point. But I do love this discrepancy in our childhoods and what that brings up in moments like this. And I do find that compelling. Like, I think it's something that, and it's something that I enjoy in this podcast. Not that it disturbs you or that it keeps you up. I don't want that for you. I don't want you to have insomnia. I want you to sleep well and all of that. But it's, I mean, we're close. We've known each other for a long time. And it's really where the differences of, like, who we met for the first 16 years of our life are very clear. Like, you were around some really, overall, I would say, decent people teaching you, like,
that everything's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. And I was around people being like, I'm going to kill you, faggot. And just rearrange reality.
Constantly reassured that everything would be okay.
We couldn't have grown up more different. And I love that for us in this, and that we get to bring those differences, those worldviews in a different way forward. I want us to actually review this movie on this podcast at a different time, which is Return to Oz, because I revisited it while being this sick this weekend and cried so hard I couldn't catch my breath.
Wow.
And had to unpack that today in analysis. That was in a way that felt very clear.
No wonder your therapist sees you for free. It's just like entertainment each week.
That's entertainment.
Okay. Yeah, my entertainment for the week is coming in the next hour. We're going to talk about movies. We're going to talk about Return to Oz.
Oh my God. I mean, well, not only that, but then I get to like tell stories of like people at the dermatologist. And also, you know, and I think it's, I hope that, you know, my, well, and now, you know, I have an analyst and a therapist. I see two different people through the week. I see,
it's a, you know,
I do two different kinds of therapy. I do analysis and then I do psychodynamic therapy on a different day.
Yeah. Look, I'm all for it. You, it's that mind takes a lot of work.
Honey, tell me about it. It's a, yeah, it's a real, it's it is a real Judy Garland up in here. And
yeah, so an analysis is the difference. If you were Judy Garland, you would be well on your way to being dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's analysis and therapy. I mean, my analyst is sort of new. I've had my analyst since last summer, when suddenly last summer I completely lost my mind. That is another movie I would really like us to do at some point.
That'd be wonderful.
I do want us to do Return to Oz. Though our next movie review is indeed going to be Possession. And okay. Now
how do we watch it?
Well, if you are a Patreon patron, there may be a way. If you're someone else, just try and find it online somehow. But that, when
does
we...
Does that mean I have to start donating $5 a month to watch
it? It does. It does, actually. Okay. It does. But isn't Aunt Jane one of our patrons? Well, recruiter, this is like, you know, that those weird, I don't think you had to do this. When I was kid for school, we had these things where we had to like go door to door to sell stuff from catalogs.
What?
Wow. And this is very,
that's a cult. That's a pyramid scheme. That's Nexium.
It literally happened in my public grade school, middle school, maybe high school.
This is why we need standardized education in this country. This is so crazy, Jack.
So all the students, we would all, like, through the school, we would receive this catalog, and then we would go and sell stuff. We'd go door to door through whatever part of, like, our town we were in, and then if we sold enough of a certain something, we'd get a certain amount of points, and then from those points we could get like a box of pens or something.
What? Was in the catalog? What were you selling?
I remember there being wrapping paper. It was something people could get. I remember. You know what?
This is weirdly ringing a bell.
Okay. Okay.
Only the wrapping paper. I don't know why. I don't understand where the bells are coming from, but I did leave the public school system in grade 4. So you might
have had to do it at some point around then. It was...
Well, there was no door-to-door in Manhattan. You know what I mean? Like, trick-or-treating wasn't really a thing we did.
Ding dong. Leave! Yeah. It was like ringing like every buzzer at the Dakota.
Oh my God.
Your mom being like, let's go up to the Dakota and just walk through the halls and get, I don't know, maybe we'll get like a Swarovski crystal.
I did have a very nice walk with Anthony Roth Costanzo the other night in West Village. And we talked about, you know, how art is over. And
it's absolutely not. I fully disagree with that.
No, I know it's not. I know it's not, but it's just hard.
And I'm also fully like, it is online now. Like, the coastal elites have to like get into how we're going to get the rest of America to see art. And I feel that the internet is the way, and I'm here for it.
Yeah. Sure. Internet. It's true. But I mean, yeah, those of us who are accustomed to live performance do miss it. And those of us who work in live performance are suffering. But at any rate, on my walk back, as I walked, it was garbage night. And garbage night in the West Village is high class luxury. If you need to furnish your apartment and have a pickup truck, drive through the West Village on garbage night. You will be done in an hour. You will have a furnished apartment, and it will be nice.
What was the best thing you saw on the street?
Well, my favorite thing that I saw, there was obviously a lot of, like, office chairs and mm-hmm. hat racks mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But what my favorite thing was is that somebody must have received some very expensive piece of furniture or art in their house that had been wrapped with MDFs. You know, this is a big, it's a very, very strong kind of particle board. And
yes.
the pieces of the packing
yeah.
that had been around the thing were out on the street. I was like, wow, you could really build something really nice from this.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you didn't have the wherewithal to kind of like drag it back to your place
I can't bring anything into this apartment. It's too small.
Yeah, that's true.
No. I did see a homeless person in personal encampment in the West Village mm-hmm. that was like condominiums. Yeah. It was literally basically like a duplex. They had like a full series of tarps over piles of expensive objects that they'd obviously picked up.
You should have been like, hey, there's some really great MDF around the corner.
I was like, you look like you could use more things. No, this is a person who could not possibly be nomadic. They've moved in right next to the UPS.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, there you have it. There you have it. Wait, what were you talking about right before that? Oh, it was Ringing the Bells, the catalog thing. And ladies and gentlemen, if you remember the catalog of why we sold that as young students, write in, tell us, and we'll talk about it next week. Because I can't quite remember, and I can tell you that as I'm talking about it, I feel like I want to throw up. And I do remember that the kids at the Catholic school didn't have to do it. And then we met up in middle school, and that's when I think we all kind of did it or didn't do it. I remember that I did it. Like, I remember, like, always doing it. And hating it.
Did you see that Instagram the other day of Dolly Parton and Patti LaBelle playing their acrylic fingernails and singing a hymn? Or no, they were singing Mama's Little Baby Love shortening that song, but they were also playing scratching their acrylic nails together. Like
they were doing it with their acrylic nails, like that board,
board. Uh-huh. That's exactly like a washboard.
I did not. I have not been on Instagram very much. But
really, you really blew up the With Dance and Stuff Instagram.
I did that Sarah Brightman one and then left it at that, and I think that got like 43 likes. Last week. I think I posted that on a Friday and I got 43
really
likes.
Big. That's big. Really blew it up. 43.
Really blew it up. But yeah, tell your friends, come on down to the Dance and Stuff show on Instagram. No, I didn't, but I will try to go and look for that. Nothing can quite get me over It's Just Soap. I don't know if I've ever seen anything on Instagram that's quite blown my mind as much as It's Just Soap by Britney Spears.
I don't know what. Oh.
When you see this? See this pretty flower? See how pretty it is? Watch this. It's just soap. And then she goes, mm. She makes this little sound with her mouth. She goes, mm. It's just soap. It's not really a flower at all.
It was Fooled a pretty ya. Flower that was soap?
It's like this rose. Didn't I send it to you?
I don't know. Did it look like a flower?
It looks like a rose. And she's in a bathtub. And she goes, this is such old news. This is like a month old. I remember when I saw it, I like lost my mind. And I think I watched it. You know me. I have OCD. So I think I watched it. Absolutely, I've seen it over 100 times. I'm not lying. I've watched it over 100 times. I've discussed it at great length with Jamie Devine and Ryan mm-hmm. Walker Page. Mm-hmm. I've discussed it with Aaron Markey. Mm-hmm. It's Just Soap is absolutely another expression for 2020. And that it ends with Fooled Ya is really another expression for 2020.
Fooled Ya.
It's Fooled ya. Absolutely. Britney, I don't know if anyone knows how to do Instagram or what Instagram's for better than Britney Spears.
She's pretty incredible at it.
It's the posting of like the three selfies that look the same. It's, and you, that's a scroll through and it's like, guess which one is edited. My mind, even when I say it, I get like so excited. I can barely breathe. It literally, it's part of what makes me want to stay in America. It feels absolutely what contemporary life is like. This kind of recreationist act on the daily with one's persona is incredible.
It is interesting how these things, like, how these kind of, like, personality fractures that become a kind of creative performance, they do allow you to see past the grotesqueness of these people, which I find interesting and is where we diverge, because, like, I really struggle, like, with Paris Hilton and Britney Spears.
We didn't even talk about the Paris Hilton doc.
We did not. Not yet.
This is going to be a long episode.
What people don't know is that it is 10 p.m. But I don't sleep, so it's fine.
With a longer episode for our Patreon listeners, which we're going to do after this. Because we're going to get into... Do you know about Harry Stack Sullivan? I believe psychologist. So when all these men were being told they were schizophrenic, Harry Stack Sullivan was like, I think they're gay. And he was the first person to put together an all-gay ward where these men got better. Wow. And a famous quote of his is, we're different people with everyone we know. And that's in sort of also the breaking apart of, and this is really the segue into the Paris Hilton documentary, which you said last week you wanted me to watch. And I watched, and I cried so hard. I think it's an incredible documentary. I remember watching The Simple Life and being like, they're so smart. Because I was like, there's no way that Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie, they know. And they're like playing this thing. That's a way of kind of playing into this like horrible, rich, like spoiled brat character. Yes. And I found the Paris, the part of the Paris Hilton documentary that like spooked me or unmoored me the most was when her voice would change without the trying. And the level of trauma that was just exposed in the documentary of it really... was shaking. And I'm really just, I found it really moving.
Yeah, I spent some time not feeling any sympathy for her. It just felt like as soon as the movie started, it was like, this movie is going to be designed to elicit sympathy for this person. And then, you know, some of it was humorous of her being like, I only have gowns, or being like,
it's incredible.
You know, after I made $100 million, it became my goal to make $1 billion. And I was like, this is so gross. Like, how can you have so little perspective? And then, you know, when they showed her with that hideous German guy and him getting drunk and being unbearable, then I started to really feel for her, to see her become like totally, to watch her be actually vulnerable and feel upset and feel frustrated and feel scared and feel furious. I was like, oh. And it was at that moment I was like, okay, like she feels very human to me right now. And then the school stuff felt very, it made sense of everything. It really made sense of the whole, of her entire situation and her entire personality. And I did end up feeling for her by the end, and feeling for all those survivors of that kind of
horrific
school abuse. Yeah.
Horrific. And I did watch the interview with Drew Barrymore, who said she was very helped by that experience.
Yes.
And so it is, you know, I do want to like keep a nuance here on this podcast that it has helped some people. And I think, but in Paris's case, I absolutely believe that she was in an abusive situation, that the women were abused, that that's.
Well, it sounds like that particular school
has many accounts against it. And
I also do believe and felt for Paris when she said, like, I didn't deserve to be sent to that school.
She didn't.
Like, you didn't. You are not the kind of child that gets sent to those schools. It is because of your parents' naivety that you were sent there.
Yeah. And kind of immediately, I know that she's like cool with her mom and everything, but as soon as we met her mom, I didn't like her. Like, it's just, I have like the child's instinct of like an untrustworthy parent.
We never met the dad. Is the dad alive? Is he with us?
Yeah, he just doesn't do these kinds of things. Remember, her mom says that in the beginning. He doesn't do this sort of stuff. And they're very, you know, they're Christian values and like what they were already putting her through before that school. And you know, who, like, and if this was like a fictional account and you and I were cast in this movie, you know who's who. I am Paris Hilton and you are the sister.
Oh, of course.
You would be like, well, you were bad. And I told on you all the time. And I'd be like, you bitch. But you would be like, yep, well, mom loves to cover things up. Like, you know, the sister was so, and what's weird, I don't know how, I've met that sister in New York.
You have?
Yeah, I've absolutely met her. I never forget a face and how like someone talks. And I was at something. I remember talking with her and being like, she's really cool and so weird. And then I was like, oh, it's Paris Hilton's sister, right? It's a great portrait of someone who I think is an incredibly complicated icon in America that I do think also began our. I love when they say, "Do you feel responsible for this mess of social media and kids on, you know, girls on their phones wanting to like get plastic surgery to look like they're the filter?" And she's like, yes.
Yes, watching her on the phone, taking selfies, being so beholden to her social media platforms through all facets of her life, I found that so devastating.
Yeah.
And then I also found her relationship to stuff devastating, because I do ultimately think that like rich people and not rich people and their relationship to stuff is one of the biggest problems that we face. People not understanding the value of things, how it's produced, how it damages our planet, how it damages our souls to surround ourselves by trash.
Yeah. Well, and that came up in analysis today and we'll talk about this when we actually do a full review of Return to Oz. The many things I have to say about this movie from every which angle, but that her friends are turned into objects and she has to turn them back. It's literally, I remember posting about it years ago of like, I feel like I'm trying to turn my friends out of objects from capitalism. You know, it's Paris Hilton herself was objectified and is therefore surrounded by objects, you know, and she's,
you know, her stacks and stacks of laptops. When you're like, you can literally hire somebody to help you out with that. Like, there's no need to just continue.
She could hire you. I mean, you could come in and like,
hire me.
You could absolutely go in there and deal with all that. Out of all of Paris's stuff, like out of all of her items, what would be the item out of, if Paris was like, I'm going to get rid of this one kind of item, what would you want?
What do you mean to have?
Uh-huh. If she was going to give you all of one kind of item, what would you pick?
Paris Hilton has nothing I'm interested in having. And that is truth.
I would want the sunglasses. There, I said it. I said it and I mean it. I found her sunglasses to be incredible, and I understood. I really related when they were late. And she's like, I have to get those sunglasses. And then they get in the car and the sister's mad. And she's like, are you mad at me? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, I'm sorry. And she does the voice. Uh-huh. And I was like, oof. I laughed so hard when she was waving at her fans in Korea. And then she like repeated what the person told her to say. And then had that weird low laugh that she has. She was like, I love you all so much. Like, and then she has like that laugh that she has kills me. Did you watch her make lasagna?
Yes, I've watched that.
It literally, I turned to Jeremy and said, that's like if I made lasagna. And he said, that's true. But
it is also just one of these things. And I'm sorry. Yes, it is sort of funny. And I do think that Paris Hilton is smart in her awareness of this character that she
created.
Does. But,
uh-huh.
But to devalue food in that way, to devalue the extreme amount of like effort and money that goes into all the shit she has, I don't like it. I find it very grotesque.
And what do you mean? Oh, like how she like tosses it all around?
How it's just all tossed around. There's so much shit in that kitchen. It's all actually like garbage food that like, even though like she's has limitless wealth, she's spending her money on these kinds of foods. I mean, that are not responsibly produced. That, you know, like it's just like thoughtless.
I guess, but I'm hard pressed on. Is it different and on? Is it much different on other cooking shows?
Yes.
Huh.
I mean, not all. There's certainly Guy Fieri and Diners and Drive-Ins and Dives and that uh-huh. That Southern racist cook, Paula Deen, uh-huh. You know, who's like, just put more butter and oil.
What's Barefoot Contessa? What's her, do you think, is she wasteful?
Ina Garten is super like Upper East Sidey kind of like, oh, she's very like Eli Zabar, like use good ingredients to make food that tastes good and is salty.
But I liked that Paris was like, you could use other kind of cheese. Like there's soy cheese, there's like nut cheese. It's crazy. Like I like that she brought up like other kind of cheeses. I mean, yes, was it like chaotic, messy, and wasteful? Yeah, but I guess, you know, and it's hard for me to divorce myself from, like, watching it in some sort of, like, neo-camp perspective of a John Waters-type viewership of it as well.
But I just, like, can't imagine that Paris Hilton is making commentary on the grotesqueness of this country, but maybe she is.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think The Simple Life is really genius. I think that there was a lot inside of that that was a social commentary. And I think it's up for other people to unpack it. And as we know, that requires an education and we fall very low in terms of other countries and education. But I think in terms of what this country produces, just period of like our movies, our pop stars, our like all of that is intensely you know, we are number one on climate change. It's like, we are just like burn a hole in that ozone right from here, uh-huh. You know, and if we're not doing it in this country, we're certainly outsourcing in other places, as you've talked about on here with fast fashion and the toxicity of that in other countries that we are, spearheading. But
absolutely.
It's, I don't know. And in that way, I feel that perhaps Paris gets to be our Helen of Troy in some way, that she gets to be our complicated heroine.
I just wish for everybody. This is my wish.
Okay. Let's take a moment to really hold space for it.
And I know that I'm not talking. This isn't going out to the people who are listening to this podcast. This is more a wish broadly. I want everybody to reevaluate their relationship to all of their things and to the way in which they consume things.
Yes.
Don't buy a whole bunch of like $10 blouses. Don't do it. Think really, really hard about how long you're going to wear that. I'm not saying don't buy one. If you really like it and it's at H&M and you really feel like that blouse is going to improve your life and get a lot of wear and have a good life in and of itself, is that blouse going to live a happy life where it's presented with frequency? Buy that blouse. Do not buy things that you are not going to use a great deal and that are just going to end up contributing to waste, contributing to slave labor. I mean, this is nothing new. It's nothing new.
You know, just someone who doesn't buy very thoughtful. Who doesn't buy new stuff?
You.
Truly. I have, well,
you don't have to brag about it.
I have it's more, I'm not bragging about it. I'm thinking more like I think it's also weird though. I think it'd be good if I like got some new stuff. So everyone out there, don't get
send
anything.
Send your stuff to Jack.
If you need to get new stuff, send it to me. If you're getting rid of black stuff, send it to me.
Absolutely. One way we're going to recycle, send black stuff to Jack.
Yeah, there you go. Remember recycle? Reuse it. Don't abuse it. Don't misuse it. Do you remember that?
Nope. I did take great pleasure in watching Jeremy's beautiful music video, which is, I guess, still a secret, but that with all the secondhand clothes.
See? Yes. Yeah, we did well, I can't wait for us to talk about that, but we'll talk about that music video in depth, music videos in depth with who they're for when we can talk about it. In the meantime,
I feel that
it is time for this portion of the podcast to end, but for our Patreon portion to begin. So, ladies, gentlemen, other, thank you so much for listening. We loves you.
And if you'd like to carry on with us into the next portion, become a patron.